Well, I do want to share a message, and I certainly don't mind the interruption. This was a great gesture, and we thank you for this. These will be very meaningful for Cheryl and I. And pray again that in the weeks, months, and years to come, that prayer requests will be put in here, and we'll believe the Lord to answer those prayers. Amen? Amen. Which he has done. God bless you. And Eddie, you weren't the only one jumping off the altars. I'm looking at some adults here that were guilty of the same thing. And the Lord punished you by having you stick around long enough to hear me preach. I don't know. No, but anyway, thank you very much. This morning, I just want to share a few thoughts that the Lord put on my heart. last week, one of my verses that I used was 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. and then this week, I've been directed to the little book of Philemon in the New Testament. Philemon is a little letter written by Paul to a man named Philemon who had a runaway slave, Onesimus. And there's 25 verses in it. I was going to read it in its entirety this morning, but I think I'll forego that and just give you a little synopsis and then explain what I want to talk about. Paul is in prison. And I don't know the story. You can read different things about how Onesimus came to meet Paul. Movies have been made about it. Books have been written about it. We really don't know. But what we know is that Onesimus was a runaway slave who belonged to Philemon. And he ended up finding Paul in Rome. And Paul was a prisoner, but he could receive guests. And somehow, this runaway slave and Paul met. And Paul, by everything we can read, won him to the Lord. But Paul told him, he said, finding out from Onesimus whose slave or servant he was, finding out that was Philemon, Paul convinced Onesimus that the right thing to do was to go back. Thank you, Jason. Was to go back to his owner. And we have to understand the culture in which Paul lived. We know that slavery, as we know it in this nation, was a horrible, terrible scar on who we are as a nation. We know that. And we look back on it and we're sad that that happened, but we're past, you know, that no longer happens here, happens in other places around the world. At least we pray it doesn't happen here. But that culture, understand that slaves were, it was a whole different setup, and I'm not justifying the slavery. There were slaves that were later called bond servants who had chosen willingly to be servants in that culture. And they were paid a wage, and they were like employees, more like employees. And it's interesting that in a moment I'm going to read to you a passage that Paul would write to the book of Colossians, to the people of Colossae, about how masters and slaves were to interact. But Paul took Onesimus and he said, the right thing to do is for you to go back to your master. And so I'm going to send you back, even though you're beneficial to me. And you can, if you read this little book of Philemon, you can pick this up. he writes this epistle. And what's interesting is that some commentators believe that Paul didn't actually do the writing of this letter, but Onesimus, the slave, actually wrote it as Paul dictated. Paul is aged by this time, and Paul says that in this letter. He says, I'm Paul the aged. And so maybe Paul wasn't even able to write anymore, but Onesimus the slave wrote it as Paul dictated it. And so Paul, as he dictates, Onesimus writes these words. And in verse 8, he says, therefore, and he's writing to Philemon, he says, that I might be very bold in Christ, I want to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I appeal to you as Paul the aged. He said, I'm not telling you what to do, Philemon, but I'm asking you for love's sake that you will accept your runaway slave back. You see, what Philemon could have done, and he would not have been prosecuted for it, he could have killed a slave for running away. He had that right as the owner. But Paul said, I appeal to you for love's sake. I want you to understand that Onesimus is different. He's not the same Onesimus that left you. He's changed. He is now my son. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. I have led him to the Lord. And he is a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. So I'm sending him back to you. Verse 12, I'm sending him back to you. Therefore receive him. That is my own heart. If you'll receive him, your runaway slave, you're receiving me. Because I'm sending part of me back to you. And then verse 15, Paul is dictating, and he says to Philemon, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. You had him as a slave, but now you can have him forever in the sense that both of you now are believers, because Philemon was a believer, and now you are both Christians, and you will live together in heaven. The master and the slave. The only difference will be in heaven, there will be no master, there will be no slave. You will be one, right? As you are one now in the Lord. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. That's who this runaway slave is now to you, Philemon. He is a beloved brother in the Lord. He's changed. He's changed. And I trust that you have changed too. And so he goes on and says in this little letter of Philemon, he says, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. He said, put it on my bill. And then he goes and makes a little humor and he says, and by the way, I don't want to mention what you owe me. But you take him, and if he owes you anything, put him on your account. And so he leaves it at that, and we understand that Onesimus goes back to his master, and they develop a relationship now, not so much as master and slave, but now as brothers in the Lord, and Paul encourages him to go on. So as I read through this little letter, I thought there were some lessons there for us. And the first one, I think, is Paul. Paul says, I'm older now, I'm aged, I've learned a lot, and I can't even write on my parchment anymore, but I'm going to have this young man that I won to the Lord do that for me. And I want you to understand that I've changed. Because when Paul was young, he was different. We all know Paul's story, and I won't go into that in great detail, but Paul changed, and he was changed because of Christ. How many believe that Jesus Christ can change our lives? How many of you did he change your life? You're different now. And that's the way it ought to be. Changed it for the good. And then I thought of Philemon, this slave owner, this wealthy man who ended up accepting Christ as his Savior, and as Paul says, I greet you and those that are in the church in your house. So Philemon has opened up his home so that people can worship. They didn't have churches in those days. And so he opened up his home so they could come in and they could have church. So he's changed. He's not just a wealthy landowner now, but now he's a Christian and he opens up his home when he probably wouldn't have done that before. But he opens it up and says, come in and have the Bible studies, have the sermons, and we'll sing together. And he's changed. Philemon has changed. And Paul counts on that change when he sends Onesimus back to him. He counts on the fact that Philemon has changed too. And Philemon can change. How many know God can change poor people? Come on. Amen. Some of you were poor and he changed you. How many knows he can change rich people? Amen? Not sure any of you were rich. But anyway, he can change you. If you have money, if you have land, if you're rich, he can change you. And how many know he can change the middle of the road folks, like probably all of us? He can change us. Amen? He changes us. So he changed Philemon. But the one in the story that seems to be changed that I'm going to bring out is Onesimus, this runaway slave. Now, why did he leave Philemon? Was Philemon mean to him? We don't know that. Did he just want to be free? I can understand that. We don't know why he ran away, but he did. He ran away, and he ended up in Rome, probably because in Rome he could be lost, and no one could find him. No one would suspect that he was a runaway slave. Maybe he changed clothes, maybe he borrowed some or stole some or whatever, but he couldn't be discovered. Go to Rome. Do as the Romans do. You can kind of blend in, and no one will ever know. But guess what? The Holy Spirit knows. Amen? So we don't know the backstory. We could all write a novel on it, which some have. We could write a movie about it, and some have, on how they ended up interacting and finding. But somehow the Holy Spirit put things together so that Onesimus, the runaway slave, finds Paul the apostle, who is a prisoner of Rome. They find each other. Did someone introduce Onesimus to Paul? We don't know. Did Onesimus maybe look for a job? Did he knock on a door? We don't know that. All we know is that they came together. We know that God put it together. How many's ever had something where you knew God put that together? Amen? Boy, I have. God put it together. I think I was 16 years old when I moved from Tillamook, Oregon to Coos Bay, Oregon, and I hated it. I resented it. You've heard my story. I didn't want to move. I was made to move. I kicked and I bucked and I spit and I spat and I did not want to go. It's the most horrible place I could ever go. Coos Bay, never been there before in my life, but I knew it was going to be a horrible place. Ended up living on a farm and a dairy farm and went to the first church. I went to a church in a little part of Coos Bay called East Side, and I was resentful, and why did you send me here? And then Cheryl walked in. Oh, how things changed when we see that God put it together. Amen? The rest, of course, is history. I met the love of my life. God knows what he's doing, even though it doesn't seem like it is at the time. God puts things together. But then God says, I want you to change. He says to Onesimus, he puts him with Paul, and Paul leads him to Christ. That's what Paul was all about. He was all about leading people to Christ, helping them find that they could be a new creation. So this runaway slave, we don't know anything about his attitude, don't know anything about other than the fact that he was a slave, and he ran away. He found the Lord. And we sang about it this morning. And again, Sharina didn't know what I was going to preach about. We don't usually compare notes. But that song that they sang about, I remember as the Lord changed me and he touched me and he healed me. And that's what God did for Onesimus. And so he confides in Paul. He says, I am a runaway slave. My owner is Philemon. And Paul says to him then, and probably calls him as he did Timothy, though he wasn't his son in the natural, he said, my son Onesimus, you need to go back. You need to go back. You need to go back to your owner. How hard would that have been? I can only imagine how hard that would have been. But Paul probably taught Onesimus, you're a new creation now. You have new values now. You have new responsibilities. And in the culture and the day in which he lived, Paul says the right thing to do is go back. But you're not going to go back now as just a slave. He still owns you. That's the culture. But now more than anything, you are a slave of Christ. You are a servant of Christ, and I'm going to send you back, and I'm going to appeal to Philemon to accept you back, not as his runaway slave, but as a changed man. Now you're going back as brothers in the Lord. Now, I don't know the backstory. I don't know the story beyond his going back. There is mention, and we'll see his name mentioned in the book of Colossians, where we think it perhaps is the same Onesimus, who now is a steadfast follower of the Lord. So Philemon may have freed him. They may have joined together to keep the church going. We don't know any of that. We can only imagine what it is. But the appeal of Paul to Philemon is, I'm sending you back, not a slave now, I'm sending you back a son in the gospel. He is a brother beloved because Christ changes him. So, I want you to turn now to the book of Colossians, please. And I want to spend just a few moments reading Paul's words to the church at Colossae. And it's interesting, he did a similar thing to the book to the people at Ephesus, but he writes to the Colossians on family relationships. And that's really the point of my message this morning. God has given all of us the responsibility to change. Christ changes us. If we will give him an opportunity, Jesus can make us better at everything we do. He will make us better fathers, better mothers, better grandparents, better children, better workers, better employers. Jesus will make us better citizens. Jesus will make us better friends if we let him. Because when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Amen? How many want to be better today? You want to be better? Thank you for those hands. I want to be better. I want to be a better pastor. You said, you've been at this so long, Pastor, you can't get any better. Oh, believe me, I can. Cheryl and I were listening to a pastor on the way to church today. She was listening to a broadcast, and he said something, and I said to Cheryl, boy, do I feel like a failure. Now there's a good pastor. And like a good wife, she agreed with me. Like a good wife, she patted me on the hand and said, no, you're not that bad. Yeah, we can all get better, amen? We can all get better. Why? Because of Christ. Look what Paul says to the Colossians, chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Wives, now I don't know why he started with wives, okay? I don't know, but he did. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Why did he say that? Why did he write that to the church at Colossae? Perhaps the wives weren't doing what they were commissioned to do as Christian wives. Now the word submit, ladies, as most of you know, doesn't mean that you're a doormat. Doesn't mean that you're a slave or a servant. The word submit is a military term that means to fit in where God has called you. Fit into the role that God has given you. And I won't spend a lot of time on it today, but if we go all the way back to Genesis and we see how the wife, the relationship a wife was to the husband, we can see the beauty of that relationship. She is called a helpmeet. And the word helpmeet in the Hebrew is very similar to the word Holy Spirit in the New Testament Greek. It means one that is called alongside to help. In my opinion, a wife's submission means to come alongside a husband and help and be a part of him. And the old adage is, as you've no doubt heard, God did not take woman out of his head to rule over him, or his feet to be walked upon, but took him from his side so they could walk together. So a wife is to walk with her husband. That's what submission means. To fit in to the place that God has called her. To love him. To care for him. And to nurture him. And to provide things for him that no other woman is allowed to do. It's a beautiful position. I wish we had time. I would ask Cheryl to come up and share with her vantage point of this. So you ladies could get a lady's point of view. But being with Cheryl as long as I have, I think I know where she's coming from. If I'm wrong, she'll tell me after church, and next week she can have a rebuttal. But this idea of a wife submitting to a husband is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's been made a bad thing with wrong teachings. I've heard certain people say, she's my wife, she does what I tell her, she's no more than a servant to me. And boy, did I get in that guy's face. That is not what God called a wife to do. Called alongside to help and assist. As a matter of fact, and I know it's a cliche, but a woman really completes a man. Really does. And so you can be a better wife. And maybe that's what Paul wrote this for. But then he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Why did he write that? Because maybe some husbands were being bitter against their wives. Husbands, you have a place. We have a place that we fit into as well. And we can be better, excuse me, we can be better husbands because of Jesus. Now, we won't turn there, but in Ephesians, Paul will write even further and say, husbands, love your wives and give your life for them. Even as Christ gave his life for the church. So the requirement he gives for the husband is even more extreme than it has been said the wife for the husband. The husband has to be willing to give his life for his wife. Lay down your life if necessary, he said to the Ephesian husbands. You protect her. You guard her. You guide her. You help her. You strengthen her. You're there for her. She's beside you. But you have to do everything to keep her covered. I'm putting you between her and the world. I'm putting you between her and the enemy. Husbands, our responsibility to our wives is to love them and protect them. And when the enemy is attacking our wives, you've got to step in between and you take those arrows. You protect her. You pray for her. You cover her. That is God's calling for husbands, to protect our wives and, if necessary, lay down your life for them. And godly husbands can do that because Jesus can help us be better husbands. All the men said, amen. We can be better husbands. Then he goes to children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why did he write that? Perhaps because children weren't obeying their parents. Now, all of us, not all of us are husbands, not all of us are wives, but all of us are children. Right? All of us are children. Come on. I've only got about 3 minutes. Get with me, okay? All of us are children. And we're to obey our parents. Now, let me qualify that. Well, it's very important that children understand that they obey their parents in the Lord. And there are certain things that if a parent asks a child to do, they shouldn't do it. Especially if it is against what the Lord has and his design. Wives, husbands, children. 2,000 years ago, he wrote these words. Why are they relevant to today? I'll tell you, because if ever in my lifetime I have seen a tragedy, and so have you, our families are under attack today. The family unit is under attack. Marriage is under attack. A child's innocence is under attack. It is like the enemy has raised up an army to attack families, to attack husbands and wives and marriages and children. It is an onslaught like I have never seen in all my life. The attack on families. If ever families need to be strengthened in Jesus and marriages strengthened in Jesus and children protected in Jesus, we need that today. We need it today because there is an attack against God's order. But we can all be better husbands and wives and children because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He can change us. And if maybe there's some changes needs to be done in our lives as husbands, wives, or children, maybe part of our prayer needs to be, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart toward my husband or my wife or my children. If you can take a runaway slave and change him and send him back to his master, Lord, you can change me. Amen? The problem comes when we don't feel like we need any changes. Some time ago, I went to the freezer to get some ice, and the ice thing was empty. And my first thought is, why isn't Cheryl keeping the ice bucket full? Because we don't have the automatic ice machine thing. And then I heard the voice of the Lord. I'm sure it was the Lord. It wasn't Cheryl. She is in the other room. But I heard the voice of the Lord said something to this effect. He didn't speak in the King James Version. He said, why don't you fill the bucket? And my first thought was, me? And he said, yes, you. And all of a sudden I got convicted. I was expecting Cheryl to fill the ice bucket. Now, it's not a lot of labor-intensive stuff. It's just taking those plastic things, turning them over, and and we've got six of them. And so I felt convicted, so I filled the ice bucket. Refilled the empties. I set them on the counter, walked away, and I heard the voice say, fill the empties. So I filled the empties, put them back in. And then Cheryl came in and opened the freezer and went, whoa, thank you. She smiled. And that smile was worth everything. I thought, man, I'm going to fill this bucket every day. Just that little thing right there. And you say, well, that wasn't very much. Our family's got a whole lot more problems than that. Well, I'm not telling you our problems. I'm just telling you about the ice bucket. So from that time on, I made it my role to help fill the ice bucket. I don't do it every day, but if it's low, I fill the ice bucket and I refill the empties. And Cheryl very sweetly told me the other day, finally, after months, you're not filling the empties right. So I changed. I took her correction because the kitchen is her domain, right? And so I filled it right. I changed. And I would like to think that's what's helped us be married for over 50 years, this willingness to fill the ice bucket. Somebody said amen. Amen. So I heard a lot of ladies. All right, let me finish. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, is what he said to the Ephesians, lest they become discouraged. It's very important, mom and dad. And I know kids get upset and they get angry and these kind of things. That's part of the human nature. But let's not provoke them to anger. As moms and dads, let's be sure that we change so that we're not provoking our children to anger. Just to do it. I'm meddling now, so excuse me. Let me take a drink of water and I'll swallow the meddling. And then, to the point of my message, verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He's saying this to bondservants. He's saying this to Onesimus. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So bondservants, Onesimus, obey your master in the Lord. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And then look, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant with thanksgiving, and he goes on and on and on. And then in verse 9, he mentions Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Paul says to the Colossians, there's a responsibility to change. If you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a child, we can extend it to grandparents, to employees, employers. This runaway slave goes back to Philemon, and he's different because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason all of us can change for the better. And then I thought of the prodigal son. The son who went out and squandered all his inheritance. But when he came back, he was different. He changed. It was the elder son that wouldn't change. Sad. Lord, see my heart. Look at me today, and if there's some changes need to be made, let Jesus make the changes. That's a prayer that every husband, wife, child, grandparent, employee, employer, Christian, neighbor, friend, we can all pray that prayer today. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time of prayer today. We thank you, Lord, for the gesture that those here have done in these beautiful prayer boxes. And my prayer is that all of us in this new year would be willing to change for the good. And we can only do that through Jesus. And whether it's a little change like filling the ice bucket, or whether it's a big change with an attitude shift or an apology or whatever is needed, Lord, help us to make the changes. Just like the runaway slave changed because of Jesus. Just like the slave owner changed because of Jesus. Help us to be willing to make the changes as you reveal them to us. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today, shall we? Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Thank you for coming to service today. And if you have those cards, feel free to put them in the prayer box. And Eddie's going to be speaking the next couple weeks. And so look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you. Thanks for coming. And again, your tithe and offerings can go in the offering boxes on your way out. Thank you so much. God bless you.